I wanted to share a little bit about my trip down there, and I'm going to plagiarize Erskine quite a bit this morning because I want to share with you what he shared with us. Now, I'm not going to try to tell you that I can do justice to all that he shared, but I'm going to try. I'm going to share. He and Erskine Holt, who is a man that I really love in Christ. He's been an encouragement to me, and it's not that we've done a lot of hanging out together. We have had he and his wife in our home when we were living in New England. I'm sorry. Do I want to take an offering? Sure. Hell, we need to take an offering. Thanks. Wednesday night, because we're not going to be here, Wednesday night we'll be at Walter's house. So, and Harriet. Harriet lives there too. At Harriet and Walter's house, and if you need directions, either Harriet or Walter can give them to you. They're not that far away from here. We're going to have our house closed up, so it'll be awful hot to try to come in, but they'll probably have the air on if it's hot or whatever. So come on over there, maybe bring a couple of little things to snack on, share with one another, and please, while you're there, pray for us while we're gone. Marilyn, will you pray over this offering, please? Anyhow, about Erskine, Erskine is actually an engineer. Has several patents that are under his name that he developed. Well, I can't remember the name of the company that he was working for, but he was an engineer, and he was one of the individuals that worked on it with a team that developed developed the glass blocks. That you've seen them in like some of the older buildings. He goes back a ways, you understand, where they had the glass blocks that were cemented together. He helped develop those. So he's a very well-known individual in his sphere, but in the kingdom, he's well-known in heaven, and a few of us also know him, privileged to know him. He's going to be 87 here shortly. And I mentioned to you before that he was battling cancer. He's battling diabetes. He's battling heart strokes. He's battling being fed through a tube. And he traveled 1 hour. Actually, excuse me, he traveled 8 hours to come from Florida to be at the meeting that I was in, which was a blessing to me. I did not know he was going to be there. But he did all of that traveling in 2 days, split it up so he could make it. But he did it because he had to be there, and then he shared with us for over an hour. Here's a man who his focus is the kingdom of God and the person of Christ. So when I tell you that Erskine is a man after my heart or I'm a man after his, I'm not sure which. But as long as I've known Erskine, we've almost always been on the same page. And that I can't say that very much about very many people. He's one of them. So it's a privilege for me, as he's dealing with all that he's dealing with in his health, to sit and listen to him share again for over an hour. And you think now, this is a group that he helped establish. It's a group of people that he's worked with, prayed with, have seen go through tremendous growth and tremendous decline. And knowing, he said, I'm still fighting. I am going to fight to the very end. He's not going to give up. But in the back of his mind, I know that he must be realizing that as old as he is, that the opportunities that he has to share are numbered. That he's going to share that which is the dearest and the most important to his heart. His first comment was that his favorite scripture, favorite verses in the Bible was out of John. And I shared this when Dave Perlacki was here, but I'll read it again. John 5, verse 39 and 40. It says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." That is the crux of this man's message and ministry. And it is my heartbeat, very literally, that we might know Christ. I am tired of people being taught about Jesus and never come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the person of Christ that is the foundation of our life, not information about Him. Information about Jesus will not see you through when all hell breaks loose. Information about Christ will not cause you to stand in situations where there is no strength. But the person of Christ welling up within you, life and glory to glory, that person living within you can cause you to endure, can cause you to walk, can cause you to possess the land, can cause you to become what God designed you to be, and that's a mature brother or sister in Christ. So when we look at this, I need to remind you a little bit about him as well, because he says he became disappointed with himself while he was in Africa because he replaced Jesus with the things that he did. Because while he was in Africa, you see, he began to minister, and he ministered in the realm of the miraculous in such great power that I'm telling you that from what I can gather, he saw the dead raised from the dead. He saw blind eyes opened. He saw the deaf see. He saw the crippled walk. He saw the miraculous power of God move and was fascinated with the miracles instead of the God of the miracles. So God had refocused him back on the person of Christ. And I'm going to tell you that there's still a lot of excitement about all the hoopla and all the miracles of God. And I do expect that to happen. I really do. But I'm going to tell you it will not be at the expense of losing sight of the person of the Lord Jesus. Because what is to arise, and as you can see, you're going to be here a little bit in my heart as I'm sharing, but what is to arise in the church, it will be the church moving in the power, yes, but more than anything else, they will be demonstrating the character and the person of Christ. The power is secondary because it comes out of the life of a person, and that person is Christ. That's what it was. And in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read these verses, but it talks about God's eternal purpose, and he shared with us a lot. He talked about the fact that God's eternal purpose was that we have a family, that God have a family himself. And God gave Christ the responsibility to mature us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we find that God... That might be interesting scriptures to read, actually, even for the sake of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 and verse 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need some letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on labels of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. God has given Christ the responsibility to mature us. He spoke about Christ, and he mentioned how that Christ really, as he came in the flesh as a man, that he bound himself to humility. And he mentioned, and again, I'm skipping a little bit here because as I'm listening, I'm not as good a note taker as Marilyn is, where I get every word in comma. She's incredible. I don't know how she does that. But I don't. But then he went on to say, he said, God has always wanted children. In Isaiah 53:10, it talks about that he will see his offspring. And in Isaiah 8:18, it says, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells on Mount Zion. And what he mentioned about this, looking at this verse as a prophetic verse, looking towards the church, he sees that the children of God are to be a miracle people, a wondrous, a marvelous people, who are to be a people that walk in the miraculous. So it's not that he's against it. He's much for it, but he's for it in the sense that we walk in the person of Christ, and that out of that, we see these other produced in our lives. That we become a miraculous people. We walk into situations where people say it can't be done, and it gets done. Because of the power of God manifested in our life. I thought it was really interesting, but I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. I believe that the signs and wonders that are to come, I truly believe, is the church of the living God, the ecclesia, the ones that are called out and called to Himself. And believe me, we were talking with Denise, I mentioned, and she said something about the building, and I said, yeah, it's a nice box. Well, this is not the church, folks. It's a nice box. You're the church. You're part of the church. And John chapter 17 speaks of our oneness with God through Christ. And it's a prayer of the Lord's. And of our being sent as He was sent. And of the glory given us to effect the oneness with one another. And with the Father and the Son through the Spirit. It's an interesting thing is that the glory that You've given me, I have given them that they may be one. I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but it's in the glory. It's in the presence that we become one. It's not because of some human effort. I remembered when they told me that there was a great move back when the full gospel businessmen were happening, and there was a great move amongst the charismatics at the same time, and different things were happening, and everybody was getting excited about it. Said, this is going to draw all the churches together, and I said, no, it isn't. It will not do it. God will never let any organization or group of men say that they brought the churches together. He will do it sovereignly by His Spirit. He will overcome every organization of man and breathe life into a people who will know and be known as brothers and sisters in the Lord. They will know each other and be known that way. Folks, I'm telling you, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that. So when he speaks of unity, unity is a result of glory that's been imparted. And the glory, I believe, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His character. He went on to say, and we've actually, Ann mentioned this a little earlier, God moves by threes for some reason. Faith, hope, charity. The outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. You know, so many things are by threes. Talked about, you mentioned like the babes, the young men, and the fathers. Throughout the scriptures, you're going to see threes. He talked about that a little bit. He mentioned, and this really kind of flows right what Pauline was talking about. He says, the gospel is incomplete without the Spirit in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter said to them, repent. And each of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. In Galatians 3, 10 and 13, he says, we are a mixture of law and grace, unfortunately. But the gift we have received is no labor. All that we receive from God is a gift. The Holy Spirit was given as a gift, not just for power, but for teaching His words written on our hearts. His words written on our hearts. Folks, you can trust the leading of God in your life. You can trust the Holy Spirit to lead you You don't need another man to lead you. You can trust the leading of the Lord in your life. In Galatians chapter 3, I guess we'll need to turn there. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What did I say? Through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, singular. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. The promises that we have, but all that we have in Christ, the promises we have are in Christ. It's all in that singular seed, the Lord Jesus. He went on to say that all of our problems, we can give them all to that singular seed, the Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption as sons, which we referred to a little earlier. He kind of shifted gears here, or I'm going to say that he's kind of shifted gears, because I want to get into this next part a little bit. And some of it you may like, and some of it you may not like. Revelations chapter 12. He said that God sometimes moves in threes. We don't always understand exactly why, but He does. Verse 11. They overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even when faced with death. Those three. The overcomers are a people who overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives. I was reading something in another book here recently, and he was talking about the rapture. People talking and getting all excited about the rapture, and that's cool. I'm looking forward to that time myself. And he said, you know, that when he that's on a housetop, let him not come down. He that's in the field, let him not go back. He that overcomes by the blood, by the word of his testimony, not loving his life, even unto death. It's an interesting thing, because he drew the parallel. He said it's one of the only places in scriptures where we see that really we almost have a choice when that time of rapture comes and the Lord is coming for His own. Where's our heart at that moment? What do we love at that moment? We might even love something that's incredibly good at that moment. But if we turn, wait a minute, Lord. If there's that split second in your heart when, well, there's a child downstairs, there's a task to be completed, there's a book I'm writing, it's too late. Where's your heart? Where's your heart at that moment when Jesus comes back and He's looking for those to take them away like this? And I'm telling you, it will happen that way. It may not happen when you think it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Where's your heart at that moment? Is your heart His? Is He the focus of your attention? Or is it other things? Are you cluttered about with other things? Are you busy about other things? And that His coming would actually be an intrusion. And we would like to say no, but I'm asking you this morning, is His coming, would His coming be an intrusion? Would it interrupt? We were talking about our grandkids. Would our grandkids be an interruption? Where's your heart? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I thought that was very interesting. They did not love their life because they had given it away, and they had given it sovereignly and totally to the Lord of glory. So the overcomers overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. And he goes on to point out to something, and he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it speaks of the overcomers. It says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." He sees that there's going to be few that are truly overcomers. He said, God comes to the overcomers. True overcomers have Christ as their goal. Most people have heaven as their goal. Going out of here. But an overcomer has Christ, and heaven is secondary. Christ is their goal. Total overcoming is to sit with Jesus on the throne. Ephesians 2:6, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In Revelations 3:21, it says this: "He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Total overcoming is acknowledging, accepting, and walking in our position as overcomers, our position of seated with Christ. He said that to overcome, there's three steps: salvation, Christ in Him, and seated on the throne. Overcomers must pay the price. They love not their lives even when faced with death. To them, they no longer matter. How many times are we so full of ourselves that Christ doesn't have a chance? Doesn't have a chance. We're too busy, too egocentric, too full of me. Anybody other than me ever been guilty of that? He went on to say this, and he says, after these things, he looked in Revelation chapter 7, he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing, now listen to this, I had never really put these together this way, but he says, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. In verse 15 it says, "For this reason they were before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple." The overcomers were seated on the throne. This great throng who had had a salvation experience were before the throne. Interesting. Like I said, I don't know whether you agree with it, disagree with it, like it or don't like it. I don't know. I'm sharing with you the heart of a man that's been around for a long time. I tend to agree with this because as I've watched the body, I've seen people stop at different levels. I've seen people, as we talked about, stop as Napios and never move on to Telios. They stop at babes and never move on to the mature man. But God has called us to be those who become a mature person in Christ, a maturity that accepts and walks in the provision of God, expecting God to show forth Himself in their lives. God is not an addition. We don't walk through life and kind of pick up Jesus on the way and walk the rest of the way. It's not me and Jesus, folks. It's Jesus Christ. He's calling us to become people that are overcomers. And he goes on and he quotes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things to shame the things which are strong." Some have stood on the threshold. They looked into a glorious land of promise. A land that God, they read about. They even like what they see. It's exciting, and it's and when the fragrance occasionally will catch their nostrils, and their nostrils flare, and they think, "Boy, that's tremendous what we're sensing here." And they stand at the threshold. I think if I got anything out of what Erskine was sharing with us, that come on in. You've heard people preach about the river of God coming, flowing forth from the throne room of God. That there was water to swim in. I guess that's what I'm saying. There's water to swim in. It's not enough to get your feet wet to walk where God wants you to walk. You're going to have to let go and release yourself into the flow of that river that we sang about. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. Let go and run in there. I found it interesting as I wrote that and as we were singing one of the songs here. Let me see if I can find it real quick as we're finishing up here. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me. Try me. Consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. That's my prayer. My son in the faith, his name is Bob Kirk. We're, unfortunately, not only are we miles apart, but we are really not together. But he's still my son in the faith. He wrote a song. I can almost hear him singing it. The first time I heard him sing it, I wept. Because he spoke of an eagle. He said, "I dreamed that I was an eagle and that I soared into the sky." And he said, "As I saw the sun, I began to fly towards the sun." And as it, then in the song, it says that he's looking at this eagle now as he's flying towards the sun, and at some particular moment, no longer can you see the eagle, but only the sun. Let your heart soar like an eagle into the sky of God, into the vastness of his presence, and get lost in Jesus. Get lost in the Son of God. Get lost. Be one of those that leave the threshold and run into the light. And run into the light. Father, we're your friends, and that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So draw us, my God. Draw us after yourself. Help us, Lord, to enter in and to release ourselves without reservation. Without reservation into all that you have. Lord, those that are hungry for the Spirit, for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill and overflow. Lord, seal us until the day of redemption. But more than